Hello, welcome and kumusta, and thank you for joining me today. This time I would like to have a discussion about note writing. Okay, so there are some formats that people are using, SOAP format. Yes, that's good. Just remember, when you're writing down the notes, the main intention of note writing is, number one, it's for you to remember what has taken place, so you don't mix up your intervention. Technically, you wanted the note writing to be there as a mode for you to remember what was provided to the patient, because there are tendencies that if you keep it in your head, you won't be able to remember. That's why you write down the notes. It's like a memory aid. That's one. The second reason is for you to be able to communicate to the team members what you've done with the patient. Now, this is what I'd like to focus on at the moment, because if the intention is to communicate to MDT members, you'd write your notes so that people would understand them. And how would people really understand your notes? Mind you, everybody's busy in the hospital and people just don't have time for any fuss, okay? So if they don't have any time for fuss, if you write down the notes, make sure that everything that you need, that you wanted people to see, will be seen. Put it into categories. Make highlights. Get some topics in there. Get some hashtags if it's required. Make it visible. And then the other thing is just get direct to the point. What is the issue? If you're working in physical dysfunction, you only need the essentials and the basic things. You don't need to be thorough about everything else, because nothing about what was said needed to be interpreted. It's not a mental health practice. If you're working in a mental health practice and a patient would say a particular statement, then yes, write it down, because what you're trying to do in a mental health practice is you're trying to figure out what is not spoken, or what is the message between the lines? If you've had a discussion with the patient or the family, just go to the bullet points of what you have talked about. Say, for example, seen patient, consented to therapy. Good. You need to have that, the statement of consent. Second thing is, you need to state in summary, what are the inputs that have been provided? Okay. Seen patient, consented to therapy, consented to the following, and the following input were provided. So there you go. You're highlighting things. Functional mobility retraining, goal and discharge planning. What else have you done? Upper limb motor retraining, dressing practice. So all of these things you've highlighted. And so at a glance, you can have a look. Straight away, you can find out what is the issue, or whether you want to carry on reading. Again, it's a guide for yourself and it's a guide for another therapist who would like to read onto your notes. And then you can go and put on the details about the session. For example, if I do upper limb retraining, what was the objective? So the objective was to facilitate motor input. Okay. What was your input? How did you do that? You've done facilitatory retraining. You've done tapping, vibratory input, repeated contraction, resistance. So you've used that. And then after that outcome, after the session, patient was able to lift the arms above gravity or was able to do some reaching. And then the impressions continuing to improve and continuing to require upper limb motor retraining. So there's the details of that. Okay. You've had the statement of consent. The next thing is the statement of a summarized input, the statement of detailed input. And then the next thing is you do statement of plan and handover. Okay. You don't just do the plan, because the tendency is, yes, we do the plan. That used to be just one doctor having one plan. But now you're not just planning for yourself. You're planning for the department. And when you have to do that, it means that your plan needs to act and be come as a handover as well. So how do you do that? First, have a summary of overall performance. Because you're an occupational therapist, you want to have a statement about their overall functioning. So a patient is independent and requiring assistance of one with personal care. So that's one. Then the next thing you do is, what is the cause of the problem? So the difficulty with functional, the ADL abilities is because patient is still generally weak. And then the next thing that you need to do is you need to write that patient is anticipated to improve with more practice. Okay, good. So that's the one thing. That's plan and handover. The next thing is about discharge. You need to have a statement about the discharge. Now, remember, as an occupational therapist, imagine that you are talking to the MDT who's looking after the patient, the nurses, the doctors. So you can say not yet functionally suitable for discharge or functionally suitable for discharge, or you can write down the conditions before this patient can be discharged home. For example, patient may be discharged home provided he can get out of bed, he can walk to the toilet, he can wipe his bottom, he's been discharged by doctors, he's been discharged by physios with regard to the stairs. So you're stating the essential requirements that are needed for this person to be discharged home. Okay. The third one is after that is social services requirement. Yeah. Why is it important? Because if, for example, you say that the person will say they're independent with you, they've achieved their independence, your set condition, like, for example, wash, getting out of bed, toilet hygiene, and walking safely and medical clearance. And yet, sometimes they will need a form of help because you cannot get them fully independent in the hospital. You can't get them fully independent with showering or bathing or dressing or meal preparation. Back in the days, people don't go home until they are independent on all of these areas. However, nowadays, you don't need that anymore. That needs to be addressed in the community. So that's where the social services comes in. So as an occupational therapist, you'd have to write down the person needed to have reablement care, like morning care for washing, for dressing, and for meal preparation. And you can write down the goals in there as well. Okay? So that's the statement of whether the person will require social services or not. And then after that, the fourth one is whether the person needs equipment. Why you need to do this is because if the person does need adaptive aids and you have to order adaptive aids, these adaptive aids may need to be put in place before social services will act on providing the carers. So adaptive aids is prerequisite before social services put in their carers. So let's put a statement about equipment. So for example, the patient doesn't need equipment, then you can write down patient, no equipment required. If the patient say needs a hospital bed, patient requires a profiling bed, and then you need to quote whether it is essential for discharge, which means it needs to be in place and people will have to be waiting or people will have to wait for the patient to be discharged home. Okay. So that is the statement about the equipment. Regarding follow-up, do you need follow-up is the next thing. What follow-up does the person need? Does the person need a follow-up on community occupational therapy? If they do, follow-up occupational therapy required in the community for bathing assessment, for equipment provision, for access or installation of grab rails. And then you need to write down whether it is essential for discharge or not as well. That's the follow-up. That's where you can write down the goals. And then lastly, you need to write down action plan. What's the task list? What needs to be done afterwards? This is you telling yourself, if I'm going back to have this session again tomorrow, these are the things that I need to do. Or these are the things that another colleague will have to do. Okay? So there you go. That's the plan and handover. Really, you want to make it as straightforward as possible. And this type of documentation is called principle-based documentation. And it follows a few principles. And what are the principles that it follows? Principle one is that a patient consents to therapy if they allow it. Yes, that's why you need to have a statement of consent. The second principle is that occupational therapists know the input that they are providing. The third principle is that any input that's been provided can be documented as long as it is properly done. Okay? And that we are aware of the input that we are providing. So this is the statement of the detailed statement of the AOT intervention. And then the last principle is that any intervention can be handed over to another colleague or to another therapist as long as the essential details are put in place as well. So this is now the principle of plan and handover. Okay? So guys, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's so much better. Just remember, what you're trying to do is you're trying to convey the message. You're trying to communicate what's happening. It's you talking to everybody. It's not a pathway. It's not format based, but it is you trying to communicate with the multidisciplinary team. So just think about that in your practice. Just think about that. Also, a good example or a good exercise is if, for example, imagine if you are the reader. Would you want to read it? Yes or no? Okay? And that's what you'd want to do. Okay? Make yourself as the reader. Being the writer, think of yourself as the reader as well. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in and for paying attention. And just remember, anything that you do matters and has an outcome. I hope you learned a little something today. Until next time.
If you enjoyed this podcast, talk to your friends and colleagues about it. Like it, subscribe, share, and do what you can to appease whatever algorithm that is at play. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.